Welcome to Show Up or Shut Up, a podcast about prolific makers, specifically in the world of mixed media art. I'm your host, Wendy Solganic, also known as Willa Wanders, and I'm here to explore the ups and sometimes the downs of being a prolific mixed media artist. I've been a maker my entire life, and I've had four separate careers involving art. In each episode, we'll talk to artists about how they became prolific makers, why they make art, and the struggles they go through. We'll talk about being an online creative, social media, and how to navigate that world if that's what you're into. Whether you're a casual art lover of mixed media art and collage, or a serious artist making a living with art, whether you're a handmade book artist, an art journaler, a 3D assemblage creator, a fiber artist, a collage artist, or everything all at once, I hope you'll join me on this journey into the world of mixed media making. If you like this podcast, hit the subscribe button and leave a review. You can find me, Wendy, at willowanders.com and on Instagram at willa.wanders and at fodder.school.
Welcome. Yeah. Welcome back, Sarah Gardner. You are the most prolific podcast guest I have because I believe this will be your third time on Show Up or Shut Up.
It is my third time. And I think we suggested doing this for the class that's coming up because whenever we have these conversations, they're always fun and informative. So why not?
Why not? People love listening to podcast episodes. I get a lot of incredibly positive feedback. And the reason I don't do them all the time is just because they are extremely labor intensive.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that you have to work a lot to put them together.
So after you do the recording, that's the easy part, is the conversation that you're having with your friend. But after you do it, there's anywhere from, I would say, 4 to 6 hours of editing.
Wow.
Yes. And so you can pay an outside person to do it. I got a quote for $450 per episode.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
So I was like, okay, I understand why people charge so much because it's really labor intensive.
Yeah, we know that. Just putting this course together, I know that it's felt like a full-time job, like a 40-hour a week job. So, and I haven't had that kind of situation for a really long time.
So tell me, okay, there's so much that I want to say about this course. All right, let's start with this. So for everyone who's listening, I feel like I need to reintroduce myself because it's been so long since I've published a podcast episode. So my name is Wendy Solganic, and I have an Instagram account that is at willa.wanders. If you just happened upon this podcast episode and you don't know who I am, a mixed media artist, I'm a watercolor artist, and by some incredible stroke of luck and magic, I ended up becoming an online art teacher. And through that experience, I've made a lot of friends and a lot of work colleagues. And one of the people who I call a friend and a work colleague is here today with us on this podcast episode. And her name is Sarah Gardner. And her Instagram account is at juicy.s.art. Is that correct, Sarah?
That's correct. Oh, the dog's barking.
Don't worry about the dog.
Okay. All right. Someone's taking care of him. Sorry about that. Yes.
No problem.
That's my Instagram handle for all of my art stuff. Yeah, for sure.
And you have been a mixed media artist a lot longer than I've been a mixed media artist. So how long have you been playing with all the things?
I know. That's really what it is. For me, my art journaling practice and my mixed media art is all about playing. And it kind of started out in 2007. We had a conversation before, I think our first podcast together talked about how it started with me hosting girls artisan camps for my 6-year-old daughter and her friends. And what that is about them playing with art supplies. And I just saw how much fun it was to play with them. So that's how I got started.
I don't think that fully registered for me when we did that episode, that actually it started with you just bringing materials and hosting young kids.
Exactly.
And then did you see how they were playing with things? Like, how did it turn into, I've got this open sort of artist studio for kids, to I'm making really cool things myself?
It was like a learning experience, right? So I had an interest in it myself, just because I'm attracted to all the different supplies. They just excite me. And so when I started accumulating supplies, it made sense, excuse me, made sense that I could host the camps, get paid to share some of this with these kids and pay for the supplies. So it was like, it was one of those things where you're like, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to figure out how to pay for all of this stuff that I want. And then it was about creating a curriculum for these girls that not only I could be excited about, but they would have fun with. So that was part of the creative process in the beginning as well, is like just coming up with these ideas for things that they would be able to do. And it got to the point where, like, I did this for at least seven years. And year after year, I'd have them for a week, and then it came down to 3 or 4 days. But then I'd have all the supplies out on my front deck. It was in the summer. I'd just leave them out there, and I'd play for another week by myself with all this stuff. And so it's just it's a process of playfulness, and it's an activity that I feel that I'm really connected to myself, and I'm outside the thinking, overthinking right brain that I tend to be in most of the time in my day-to-day life. So it was like a therapy.
Yeah. Something that I noticed recently is how much overlap there could be or there is between children's art projects and the kinds of things that we do in the mixed media and collage art world, and how possibly there is just a connection for the people who are attracted to this with going back to that time when art didn't have such a high pressuredness about it. And it was all about just playing. Hopefully people, I mean, I know people have very terrible experiences in school with art. People usually have some kind of art trauma. But if we think about the time before there was an art trauma, there was usually a time where we loved making arts and crafts. And there's something about the connection there, that the things that we do aren't that much deeper sometimes than what you would do with children.
That's right. I feel like one of the things that I discovered along the way, with whether it's working with the kids or enjoying this process myself, is that it's something anyone can do, right? And it is something anyone can do, playing around with art supplies and experimenting and creating something that you personally like. Is it's just one of those things that it's like anyone can do it. And I think society is what, or our culture or our conditioning is what takes all of that away. In general, it takes away our childlike nature altogether, and especially when it's considering creativity, especially with creativity, because our culture doesn't really value it that much. I feel like it's getting to the point where it does value creativity more, because creativity has been proving itself for a long time. And the other factor is that we all have an inner child. We all have this aspect of ourselves that's like our true self, how we came into the world before we got all this conditioning piled on us. And so being able to access that playfulness in our hearts, it not only does it feel good, but it allows us to get creative. And one of the things that I came across on Instagram, one of those quotes that I kind of keep, was about how you can build like new neural pathways and new synapses in your brain. And they said that it takes 400 repetitions to build a new synapse in the brain. But if you're doing whatever you're trying to learn, if you're doing that with play, it takes 20 repetitions.
That is fascinating.
And I think it's because you're working with both sides of your brain. You're not just focused on that one pattern driven side of just associating one new fact with what's in there. You're engaging just more of your brain.
That makes so much sense to me, just on so many levels, that like the creativity, which is fun, like not everyone finds what we do as fun, but if you are attracted to the kind of art making and creativity that we are, and the experience is really fun for you, it opens you up in such a complete way that learning becomes so much easier, as contrasted with trying to learn something that feels boring, that feels hard or difficult. This is the opposite of that. It's like your whole sense is just opened up.
Yes, you are experiencing it, not just learning it.
Wow, that's really interesting. So just, I kind of want to tell people why we're having this conversation. You mentioned it in the beginning that you're in development on a new course, and I want to tell people about this because I just think it's really interesting, the story of how this course evolved. So is that okay? Can I kind of talk about where it came from and where it's going and that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So a little over a year ago, I launched a course called Love Your Imperfect Letters. And that course was extremely successful. It was one of my most successful courses. And I noticed that Sarah employs the use of imperfect hand lettering in a lot of her art journaling. And so I approached Sarah and I said, hey, Sarah, I've got this idea. This course has been really successful, and I feel like what you do with lettering is like the next level. So what I do with lettering is what I consider to be like stage one lettering, like lettering 101. And then I look at Sarah's work and I'm like, that's like intermediate. You're applying it to much more complex art journal pages. You're doing a lot of really fun things with your letters. And I came to you and I said, hey, what do you think about developing Love Your Imperfect Letters 2 for the Willow Workshops platform? All right, now you take it from here, because here's where it started to really evolve.
Right. This was super, super exciting prospect for me, because what art journaling means to me in general is that I am not only playing with the art supplies, but I am putting meaning into my pages as often as I can. It's part of that. Like, I read a lot, I watch certain shows, I love music. And so part of it is that's how I'm putting myself into my art journal, is pretty much through the writing or the words that I add to my pages. And I don't always add words, but pretty much it's pretty rare that I don't. And that's because I want the pages to have meaning, and I want them to be cohesive, and I want them to include beautiful media and imagery if I'm using that, but I also want it to communicate something that's important to me. So the writing that I add, it's inspired by what I'm writing, but at the same time, I'm always trying to think of different ways to add writing into my art journal pages, because you want it to look cool, right? And so when you proposed this, I was like, oh, this is a great idea, because I have a lot of ideas. I have put writing into my journal pages in lots of different ways, a huge variety of ways. So I was like, 30 prompts, I got it. And you'll remember, you mentioned this to me, you invited me to do this, and I sent you a 3-page memo that outlined every single prompt, 30 prompts.
Almost immediately. You were on it.
Yeah, I got it. I got put it together. It was like 20 minutes later, I sent it to you. So obviously so inspired, right? Just so inspired. And that's really kind of what happened. I think that's the deal, is that if you get inspired like that, then it's, you're just going to make it happen no matter what.
So this is so interesting. That was almost a year ago, I think, that we first started talking about it. And that's how long a really good course could take to develop. A really good course, in my opinion, and this is, I would call this almost business advice, a really good course takes many years to develop because you have many years of being in the practice of doing that thing before you even start filming on day one. And then you begin the process of coming up with the curriculum, and then you begin the filming process. So this is truly so many years in the making. Like the course that Sarah has created is, what would you say, it's a decade of art journaling? Like how much art journaling have you done prior to even beginning to develop a curriculum around your way of art journaling?
Exactly. So in creating 30 prompts of how to put writing into your art journal, I had to create 30 spreads in my different art journals, right? So I was like journaling like a fiend for a month straight because they had to go from beginning to end in terms of, I didn't have just like empty spreads laying around ready for words, right? So it just kind of took me back into that total happy zone of just being inspired and creating all of these different art journals pages. I wouldn't have been able to do that in the time span of a month or a month and a half. I wouldn't have been able to do that if I didn't have all of the experience of having done it since 2007, because it has been a learning experience. I call myself a self-taught mixed media artist because I am self-taught. I learned by doing it. I learned by doing it. And every single time I do it, I learn something new. There's no journal spread that's exactly like another.
So it's almost two decades of art journaling experience that you have poured into this class. This class is so much more than a lettering class. It was very unexpected after we came to, okay, this is what we're doing. These are the prompts. These are the lettering things. You're like, okay, I'm going to film this. And then we didn't talk for a while. And then when we got back on the phone the first time to say, okay, here's what's going on. Here's where I am with the course. I was blown away that this is so much more than I had expected. This wasn't Love Your Imperfect Letters 2. In fact, you gave it a new name. So why don't you let everyone know what the name is?
Yeah, this is called Love Your Imperfect Art Journal because it really is about the way that I art journal. I say that I learned how to create mixed media art by making shareable art. So I wrote a book about that, right? And now this is like the culmination of all of the years of art journaling. So this is about how I learned to create mixed media art journal pages.
So I'm so curious about your process of art journaling, how art journaling impacts your life, like how it is part of your life and also how it impacts your life. So tell me about sort of what draws you to your art journal.
It's not like I use my art journal to dump stuff into emotions or whatever. I don't necessarily use it for a specific, if I'm in crisis or something, and getting through it or anything like that. It's really about the fun of it. And it's about the connection to myself that I feel when I'm doing it. And because my process, I'm really trying to embrace that playfulness. And I'm really trying to connect with my imagination and my intuition, because these parts of my brain, this aspect of myself, I don't get to access that as often. It isn't as useful in our busy day-to-day lives where we're in production mode all the time. And so this is a place where I go, my creativity, and in my art journal especially, it's where I go to just play and trust my intuition. So it's a way of thinking. It's a way of being that's completely different than how I am in my day-to-day life. So it's like a little space in creativity that allows me to tap into my intuition and let go of perfection and embrace uncertainty and not judge every single thing that I do, worrying about how it's going to turn out. This mental state as I'm creating is what it's all about for me. And you've talked about it. It's called flow in some circumstances. It's for me, it is an experience of flow. And it is because it's a place where I tend to lose track of time when I'm just following what's in front of me. I'm really in the moment. I'm attending to just what's in front of me in my pages, going, oh, what does this need now? What could I try this crayon, or could I try this color of paint? I'm just focused on that. So I'm in that zone of playing off of the little choices that I make along the way until it evolves, as I trust this process, into something that I like.
So how do you organize two things? I'm going to ask two related questions. Number one, how do you organize your time in your day or your week or your month so that you allow space for this level of play and experimentation? And secondary, how do you organize the materials? Because I know from knowing you for the last couple of years that you are not someone who has a lot of real estate and the privilege of having a giant art studio or even your own small bedroom like I have, where I have all of these supplies. You're working with limited space. You live in a very high rent part of the world. And yeah, so I'm very interested in both from just a time perspective. I know how busy you are. You're an attorney, you've got a family. So how do you carve out that time? And also, how do you manage doing what you do, which is incredibly just beautiful, deep, and magical without having all this space?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I'm asking that to myself all the time. Like, where am I going to find time to do this? Where am I going to do it in my house? You know what I mean? So it's interesting. I've been teaching so much, and I've been offering live what I call art play day, where people come and I have all the supplies there and we create together. And then I have my mixed media shareable art that I make. I still trade ATCs and postcards. And when I'm in my art journal lately, it's been to create a course, this one or in some other ones that I'm involved with. And that has allowed me to make a lot of art. So I don't have a choice. I got to make time for it, right? Because people are expecting me to produce these courses. But in the past, what I would do is I wouldn't put pressure on myself to create, and I wouldn't put pressure on myself to get in my art journal. But whenever I'm inspired by a certain material, maybe I get something new, I want to try it out. So it really kind of starts with the different media and the art supplies and color that inspires me so much. I just want to use it. I want to play with it. And so that's kind of where it starts with me and going into my art journal. And as far as all the supplies, I do have a pretty good size closet under the stairwell that leads to the second story of our house. So the main storage area for the supplies is in there, and I know where everything is. On occasion, I'll put something away and then I'll forget where it is. So that does happen. And I'm totally manifesting and envisioning a studio one day. I don't know if it'll be because I changed my daughter's bedroom into a studio or something, but right now I'm kind of all over the place. It's not just in the closet. I have my little art desk that I showed in Fodder School, which is where I filmed a lot of Fodder School 1 and Fodder School 2. And it's just an antique desk that is in this living room area of my house where the light is amazing. So that's why that's there, why I end up there creating. And then lately I've been in my daughter's room because she's at college and she hasn't been coming home for summers and stuff. So I've migrated some supplies into her closet, and things that I know that I want to have easy access to create with. And that's where I filmed all of the footage for the Love Your Imperfect Art Journal course. So I'm a little bit of a vagabond when it comes to where I create, and that keeps me pretty organized though. So I have all my acrylic paints organized by color and in bins where I know I can find them easily. And then I have all of my collage supplies are arranged in bins. I have magazine fodder. I have the art papers that I've created that are collage material. I have lots of book text and vintage ledger and all sorts of things that I like to use as neutrals and things like that. And I also make my own handmade junk journals, and I art journal into my junk journals. I think I don't really do pure junk journaling. I do art journal in my junk journals. And sometimes the spreads in a junk journal might be a little more simplified and not as in-depth and not have as many layers, because it just lends itself to a little quicker creativity. But the other journals that I use, I have a couple of altered book journals that are pretty good size. And then I use basic blank journals too. And part of the course, as I was doing this, as I was creating Love Your Imperfect Art Journal, I was tapping into the ways that I add layers into my art journals and how I actually start an art journal spread, and thought, wow, people might be wanting to know some easy ways to start out and conquer the blank page in their art journal.
That's something I'm always looking for. I haven't found like that one process that hits the spot every time that makes me just want to come back and do it over and over again. I'm kind of like a person who has an unlimited appetite for trying new things. So I'm always looking for, okay, what's the next new technique I'm going to try? So I'm very excited to try your techniques, because I'm very attracted to your style of art, I'm very attracted to your use of color. Obviously, I'm very attracted to your use of words and quotes and lettering. So I'm excited. And as you're talking, I'm scrolling through your Instagram account, because that's what I like to do when I'm talking to people on a podcast episode, is I like to be inspired and really feeling the person that I'm talking to. And your work is so cool. One of the things about your work that's just very different from anything I have ever done is you do use magazine images.
Exactly. I do. And I don't always, not in every single spread, but sometimes I can find an image that will just inspire art journal pages. I'll be like, oh, I just love this. I know what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to create the background. I'm going to do all this stuff. And then I know, maybe sometimes I'll even know what quote or movie quote or song lyric that I'm going to add to the image, because the image tells a story in itself. It could be a figure, it could be a face, it could be an item of other nature. It doesn't have to be a person. But the magazine images are both inspiring to me, and they're like another art supply that I tap into. So as part of how we're going to introduce Love Your Imperfect Art Journal, I created a bonus, like a free set of videos that's like a lesson in itself, that's all about how I collect, select, organize, and use these types of magazine materials in my art journal.
That's really exciting. So you said that's going to be free. People, basically, yeah, anyone is going to be able to have access to that. All they have to do is come register themselves for that free course. It's basically a free mini course.
Yes, it is, because it's going to consist of an introduction where I'm kind of telling you what it's all about. And then there are four more videos that go from showing you how I've used these images in my art journals in lots of different ways, and then sharing with you how I go through a magazine, looking for stuff and sharing some of my stash of things that I've already collected and organized. And then talking about how if I find an image that I absolutely love that I know I want to use more than once, I will scan it onto my computer and then I will arrange it into a PDF printable that I can print off on my computer. And then I can fussy cut these things out and use them again and again. And then the other aspect of this bonus is that it's an encouragement to try this supply out if you want to, but you don't have to because the course will contain three different printables that you can download and print yourself and then fussy cut. And these will contain lots of imagery that I love, some of my favorites, lots of florals, and then some other stuff that is ready for you to easy access, and you don't have to start a huge collection of magazine materials.
That's really cool. Something that occurred to me as I was listening to you and scrolling through your Instagram feed is how much your style of art journaling reminds me of what I was exposed to 25 years ago as far as what mixed media art was and how I looked at it and I thought I could never do that. Like, it just felt so mysterious and inaccessible and complex and beautiful. And I didn't even have any idea where I would begin. And at the time, obviously 25 years ago, we were barely using computers. There were no online art courses. And I was living in Los Angeles at the time. I didn't even know where I could possibly take courses in something like this. And that idea of that type of art is very intriguing to me, just remained with me for so long, for decades, until 5 or 6 years ago, when I finally was realizing, oh, wow, something has fundamentally changed in the world. And this form of art is more accessible now because people are teaching it to each other online.
Right.
So I have never, as much as I've made art in the last 6 years, I've never made anything that approaches the level of creativity that your art journaling approaches. It's next level for me personally. Do you feel like you have an approach that's very systematic where it'll yield really satisfying pages for people who have never made super complex art like yours?
I think so. I think because really I'm teaching in a way, when I teach how to art journal, I teach based on how I taught myself, right? So you're getting the benefit of the experience of trial and error, because basically that is what it is. It's trial and error. This is where I'm allowing myself to screw up and then fix it, right? This is where I'm allowing myself to just not have to be perfect all the time. And it's where I came to understand that you can't learn how to do anything until you do it, until you try it. And the voice in my head that's like telling me I have to be perfect all the time, that I shouldn't even try anything if I can't do it perfectly. How are you going to learn to do something unless you try it? So that's really what it is. It's like this process of trial and error that I get to, and I'm in my art journal and I'm layering and layering. I'm just adding things in as I'm intuitively guided by what's there. And I don't feel like it's finished until I like it. So it's about what you like. It's about colors that you like and supplies that you like and imagery that you like and quotes that you like. It's all about what you like, what you love. And then when you get to this point where you've added all these things that you love and you have a result that you love, that's an experience of joy for me. And having trusted my intuition along the way and just made little choices along the way without a lot of pressure about worrying that it's going to turn out a certain way, I am enjoying the process. And then when I've created something I love, it's just like this whole experience of joy. And when I'm teaching, what I'm teaching is how I'm doing that. Okay, so I put this layer down. What does it need now? Or what are my choices now? So I'm like, if I put down the layer of colorful collage, my next kind of logical step is always to tame it and push it back into the page so that it's freed up and made approachable for new color and new media, right? If I just left the collage there and tried to add a bunch more media to it, you wouldn't really be able to see it because you've already got all that color. So it's about this push and pull and how things play off one another as I'm layering in my art journal. And so I'm teaching that. I'm teaching how to pay attention to what's there and go from what's there. And whatever you've put down is where you're the basis for your choices, right? So it's about empowering yourself to make choices.
So the first thing I want to say is I think that me taking your course is going to be very healthy for me as an artist at the level that I'm now at. I think it's going to push me to be even more creative, push me to be just more willing to open myself up to failure. Because I definitely think there's still an aspect of what I do that does have that kind of fear attached to it. Like, what is it going to look like? Am I sure it's going to look good? And I like what you're saying about how you try things. And then if you don't like them, you cover them up and you keep going until you're satisfied with the result.
Exactly.
And when I look at your finished art journal pages, for me, aesthetically, they are extremely satisfying. So the hope that I could have this much fun and this much playfulness and this much letting go and end up with something that is satisfying for me just feels very hopeful at this point in my own personal artistic journey. And then the other thing I wanted to say about looking at your art is you always manage to tie it together in a beautiful way. And oftentimes it is with the lettering. One of the things that isn't satisfying to me sometimes about art journaling is that it does have this feeling of so much chaos that there never was a focal point or so much chaos that it's not completed. But when I look at the art you create, it feels very complete. And I like that about it.
Yeah. Wendy, everything you're telling me is going to my heart. And I really appreciate that. No one has really ever articulated that about my art and my art journaling in the same way that you just did. And I appreciate that. And it gives me even more excitement about this course, because if it can do that for you, I hope it does that for everybody, honestly. So yeah, the way that I art journal is very intuitive, and your art journal is supposed to be like a safe place for you to mess up and play and learn and try. And even mistakes turn out to be the best part of something, because you can't control everything. It just makes you realize that sometimes if you let go of control, a beautiful thing can happen. Whereas if you're holding on and you're trying to control everything and try to make it perfect in the end, not only is the experience less enjoyable, but you're never going to get to what you think is perfect in your mind. Perfection isn't even possible, right?
Tiffany Goff Smith said in a course that I was in that instead of being upset when something happens that she doesn't like, she reminds herself that it is the mistakes that end up being the best part of her art. So when she makes a mistake, she goes, oops, yay, not oops. And I never forgot that. And that was really helpful for me to always remember, if something doesn't go the way I wanted it to, that it is going to end up being the thing that makes that piece really cool for me, because I will find a way to work with that mistake.
Exactly. And here's a synergy that to me is extremely exciting, because you created a course called Love Your Imperfect Lettering, right? And then invited me to create some prompts. And then that evolved into Love Your Imperfect Art Journal. And what you're teaching in Love Your Imperfect Lettering is helping people understand that if you practice these things, you can form new neural pathways and you can learn something new that you can then use the way you want to use it in your artwork. And so that's kind of the same thing with the art journaling that I'm teaching. I'm teaching you what I do and I'm teaching you kind of my methods, but it's all about you might like to use this material more, or you might like to not include writing, or you might like to not include imagery. It's all up to you and what inspires you. So you get to go with what excites you along the way. And the point that I'm making is that imperfection is a lot more exciting than perfection, right? There's endless possibilities if you're willing to engage in and embrace imperfection, right? If
you're willing to say, 1,000%, I totally agree with you. But perfection is so boring and imperfection is so exciting. And I've tried to express that in the past and been very misunderstood.
Yeah. That's the thing is I read this book. It's one of my favorite books by Bo Lotto. He's a neuroscientist and his book is called Deviate, the Science of Seeing Differently. And one of the things that he says in there is that nothing new is ever created from the standpoint of knowing it, knowing something. You can only create something new if you embrace the unknown, because that's how you widen the scope of possibility of what could be, you know?
Oh, that's genius.
Yes. You have to be willing to accept that you don't know something or that it's not going to fit into this certain idea that you have about it. It's not going to fulfill some assumption. You have to let go of the assumptions and let possibility present itself to you.
So you mentioned how much the materials and the playfulness with the materials are a part of your process. So could you say off the top of your head, like these five categories of materials are the ones that you always kind of find yourself going to, or is it really different every time?
I think if I were to say that what I do most often in my art journal, what I enjoy the most is that layering process, right? And so it always starts with how I deal with the blank page. And there's lots of different ways I do that. I've given 8 of those ideas in the course. But then it will go maybe collage, and then maybe gesso or some off-white paint over that, and then water-soluble media I like to intersperse in there. And after that, it could be acrylic paints with stenciling sometimes. Then I'll add even more like marks and stuff with crayons or pastels, or even get a brush and some ink and make just some scribbles across it. So it tends to be kind of a way of layering things and seeing how the different layers interact. And then I'm looking at, okay, what is this? What could this use? What would be really cool over this? So does it need light or does it need dark? Does it need contrast or does it need detail? So I'm looking at those kind of design, I guess you call them design or art principles along the way, but it is that process of layering and that push and pull that takes place as I'm layering.
Your work is magical. Like it truly is. I cannot get over how magical it is and how excited I feel at this very moment at even attempting to create at the level that you create at. I'm just so excited. When are we releasing this course?
I think we said March 1st is when it drops.
Okay, but so then, really soon. This is very exciting.
Yes. But the bonus comes out sooner. I think you wanted to release that a little earlier as a kind of an introduction to what the course is about.
So let's get back to that. So the whole thing with magazine images and the fact that I've done like a little tiny bit of collection before, but then I don't know what to do with it. So it's, I know that people are using magazine images, but I have no idea what to do with them. So then I don't even know where I stuck. So tell me, if I was about to go try to collect some, getting ready to do this, where, what are your favorite types of books or magazines that you keep? Where do you get them? Do you pay full price for them? Do you get them for free? Tell me about just kind of a little taste of what we're going to get in the free course.
Sure. I resource the magazines. I've subscribed to magazines for the sole purpose of ripping them up and using them in my
Okay, that's
journal.
Interesting. So what do you subscribe to for the sole purpose of this?
For a year, I went through Amazon. I subscribed to, I think, 3 or 4. One was Elle. Another one was Bizarre. Doesn't have a huge amount of imagery in it, but sometimes it can have really cool stuff because I think it's a little more artsy versus like fashion. And then I use catalogs too, like the Anthropology catalog or the Free People catalog. Some of these catalogs can have really cool imagery in them as well. And then my local library has a free magazine rack. People just donate their magazines and you can just go there and pick one out. Now, I haven't found amazing things there because it's always seems to be picked over, but I have found a couple of things that way, and to me that's it's super exciting because it's free, it's just random, pick this up off the rack. But you know, you can find magazines at garage sales and thrift stores these days, and I found some really cool like vintage Life magazines in an antique store. So there's a lot of places you can get this type of magazine fodder, if you will. But you can find
also Sunday magazines. Like if you subscribe to a newspaper like the New York Times or the LA Times or the Wall Street Journal, they have this thing called the Sunday magazine section, which it used to be they would publish it every Sunday. But now with the way journalism is and newspapers, maybe they publish it once a month. But those Sunday insert sections seem like they are ripe with really cool magazine images.
Yes, that's a total option. And then you might even find from some of your junk mail that you get, we have this American Express publication that would come every year before COVID. I think after COVID, they stopped delivering it, but it was called Destinations. And we'd get it like once a year. So it would have like travel stuff and food stuff, and it would have beautiful images of different places around the world. And sometimes it would have really cool text that not necessarily something written that I wanted to include, but it could be a good background. And I use some magazine pages like from Flow magazine or other magazines that have matte type pages versus the glossy pages. Those magazines can have some really cool imagery, and I have collected from there. But I also use those pages as like substrates. So for gel prints or for making art papers, that I add different media to create a collage piece that's uniquely mine, aka fodder, that's uniquely mine. I'll use those magazine pages as the substrate. So there's already a layer of something there.
That's really cool. I'm excited because it's fun. It's just, it's fun to look at your mail differently. It's fun to have usefulness in things that are otherwise going to go into a recycling bin. I realize this is not rocket science. People have been doing this for a very long time. It's just that I've never dove really deep into it. And anything that's new for anyone is very exciting to the human mind. So I'm very excited because it's all new for me.
Right. If it's new to you, and it's just, it's my perspective and my process and what I've done. So if it's not new to you, it might be unique to you because it's not your perspective, it's mine. So there might be a little something you didn't realize or a different way to look at it. Because one of the things that happened is once you start looking at magazines or, you know, lists or junk mail, once you start looking at it with this perspective, you look at it in a completely different way from then on out.
I feel like my world is going to explode. Like, I feel like my creative world is just I'll remember this moment. Like, I'll remember when you were talking to Sarah on that podcast episode, and it was like right before you learned the journaling from Sarah, and then you had so much more fun and playfulness. I've tried on my own to just show up to the blank page. And I did it for a few days and I was like, this is so cool. I'm going to do this every day. And then I petered out on it.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, too, is one of the great things about art journaling is that the possibilities are so, like, wide ranging. And it ends up being where I'm following what excites me, what gives me joy, and I'm also playing. So I'm willing to mess up, but I know after having done it so many times that I know I can get it back where I want it. And the experience of doing it is really fulfilling and it's beneficial to me. I feel grounded. I feel more myself. I feel happy. And the experience of allowing myself to embrace uncertainty and not be a perfectionist in my art journal has created new neural pathways in my brain that allow me to live my life that way.
All of a sudden, I'm texting my friends who are into fashion. And I'm like, do you have Old Fashioned magazine? I could have, because there ain't no way I have any magazines like that. And I'm not spending my money on fashion magazines because I'm such a fuddy-duddy at this point.
It's also, you're buying into that consumer thing that they're all about selling you stuff, right? Magazines are all about selling you stuff. And so...
they're all about selling you the beauty ideal, which is impossible as we age. So I'm super pro just aging and embracing it and having aging be visible and not coloring your hair and all that stuff. And for me, fashion magazines represent like the impossible ideal, like the Botox, the facelifts, the just everything that people do to try to stay looking like these 16-year-old girls in a fashion magazine. So this is going to be interesting for me to see how that expresses itself just differently, but how it expresses my truth, how I use images that are more me, because everyone right. can do it differently. Everyone can use different magazines, different images, the different colors, the different textures. There's a lot of color and texture in magazines that's gorgeous.
Yeah, I'll take a piece of a page and it's just background collage because it's a color that I like, or it has texture, or it has rhinestones or sparkle in it that I can't create that necessarily in my art journal, right? I can't want to add rhinestones to my pages, but I can do that if I put it in there with a piece of magazine. And so that can be inspirational. It can help me pick a color palette for an art journal spread. And so it can inspire how I create the same way any other of the supplies that I have will inspire how I create. And the idea of using magazines as an art supply, this has been around. You'll look at, if you look out there in art journaling books that were published years ago, you'll see this. And so it's not anything new that's in the art journaling, mixed media art journaling world. But it is something, if you haven't done it and you don't know how to do it, this bonus is going to help you if you're interested in doing that. It's definitely a good, lots of information, right? And like I said, you're never going to look at a magazine the same way again after you start looking at it with an eye to adding some of it to your art journal pages, because it's your creative process that gets engaged when you're looking at the magazine. You're not looking at it like, oh, this girl's so pretty, or oh, she's so skinny. You're not looking at that way. I'm looking at her face. What is she communicating, some emotion that means something to me? Is she wearing a garment that is pink and I just have to have that for my art journal? It's that. It's maybe it's superficial, but maybe it's deeper than what's there.
What if magazine images are just not your thing at all? Would you say, okay, don't take my course, or, oh no, this is just part of the course?
Yeah, the idea for the bonus lesson, I initially wanted to just include it in the course because I do use some magazine imagery in some of the spreads. So like I said, I created 30 different spreads so that I could create the prompts, but only 10 of them have any magazine imagery in them. The rest, the remaining 20, have don't have that in them
at all. You're saying the other 20 have no magazine.
Yes.
So this is a very full course. This is
absolutely,
this is soup to nuts. This is not a small offering. This is a very large offering.
Yes, it has transformed from just adding words in your art journal to how you can start art journal pages with the basic layers, backgrounds, videos. There's 8 of those. And then for each prompt, I am explaining how I'm putting the lettering in there, but I'm also maybe finishing a spread in a way that I normally do. So I've one of the prompts is I have a photograph from a magazine of these cone flowers in a field. So that inspires me to add an illustrated element of little cone flowers all over the spread as I'm finishing it up. So that's the kind of thing that you're going to see, even in the prompts, you're going to see the process of art journaling, not just adding the words. And then there's 10 full videos of start to finish me doing these art journaling spreads. So 10 of the spreads that I created for the prompts will be from start to finish, blank page to finish spread videos that are like watch me art journal videos. And for those, I'm going to speed up the footage. I'm going to edit it down to where it's a definite watching situation versus a lesson in each step of the way. But I will be providing a soundtrack of music that'll make it fun to watch. And then I'm going to add a PDF for each of those 10 videos that will give you the supplies that I used and the step-by-step of what I did. So it's like a bullet point. Do this, do that, do this, do that. And then you can follow that along at your own pace and create a similar spread in your art journal.
You're such a highly competent, talented human being just to even pull this off. I don't know if people realize how many types of executive functioning things people have to be able to manage at one time in order to produce a course like this, but it's quite a few.
It is. And I was walking around at first when I first started filming and putting this together, I was like Spun Kitty. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got this, I got that, I got this, I got that, I got this, I got that. I'm like, okay, I have to sit down. And so I'll write things out. I'll outline things out. I will even have a list of VO, voiceover notes. Remember to say this in the voiceover as I'm editing the footage or something. And so it was at first a little disorienting, but once I got my flow going of, okay, this is my plan, this is what I'm going to do, it all just started going and proceeding apace, and I was making good headway. And then I'm getting to the point now where it's almost totally finished and I'm walking around going, oh yeah, I got that. It's all the different things that are there. They're in my head that I have a grasp on it, and it's because I've been immersed in it, but like it is, it's been organized in my brain now where it's like, oh, I got a handle on it, but it takes time. At first it's a little weird and then it starts to come together, but it's a brain expanding kind of exercise in and of itself, just creating the course and editing it together and making it make sense and putting it all in the order that makes sense.
It's kind of incredible what people are doing, like what you're doing, what I'm doing, what all the teachers are doing, that we're all exposed to, like in our homes, by ourselves, no production teams, no one editing for us. There's just so many things that go into producing something like this. And when you think about like television production or movie production, there's long lists of credits of all the people who worked on the production. And an online course, it's one person.
Yeah.
Who did all the jobs, wore all the hats.
Yeah, I create all the graphics. I use this app called PicMonkey online, and I create all the graphics. I processed all the photographs for my book that I wrote on this app. And because I took all the photographs and then I had to process them so that they were at the correct DPI for the book. So I went in there and I'd adjust them and I just saturation, I just contrast, all of these things. So every bit clip that I filmed to create this course, I would then process. So I would adjust the saturation, I would adjust the the light, I would adjust the color so that it would all kind of look the same. You know what I mean?
I do know and what you mean. I do it all the time.
Yes. It's all these little tiny details, and it's detail upon detail in a progression until you get to that finished product.
I'm excited for you to finish, because I'm also doing a huge project, which people don't even realize is going on. And I'm getting closer to feeling like at least I've completed the whole project, at least the first go around of it. And like the feeling of relief that is coming over me. I've been working on this project for maybe 4 or more months.
Okay.
And even just today, I kind of completed a big part of it, and I'm feeling like this sense of relief coming over me. So now that you're nearing the completion of just a massive project, do you feel like you're going to take a break? Do you feel like you've got this other long list of projects that are on the horizon for you? What's going on?
Yeah, I have other things I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be jumping back into the filming process to film a class. I'm doing this requires 2 lessons. They're not too long, but that's going to be like a piece of cake after this whole thing. But I'm also doing a live art play date at the end of this month. And then I have another opportunity to go be filmed. I don't have to do that myself now. So I'm going to be filmed teaching it feels like a live class because they're filming in real time. They edit it down a little bit, but that is on the horizon as well. So it's all got to be done though.
So I mean, you're just in the site, like you're just one after the other, you don't get a break. You're just going on. You're just
content creation machine. Yeah, I think I'm going to be, and I've got fodder school too.
Yes. What month is your fodder school month? Which month are you?
I'm June. I'm super excited about it. I haven't committed to anything else in June because I want to be like interacting with all the students in fodder school, and I'm going to create some more of the ATCs that we'll be creating so that we can all trade our ATCs. So that's going to be super fun. And then I just wanted to say something about all of this. I talk about processing photos or creating graphics on PicMonkey, or I talk about editing my videos. I talk about filming or whatever, but each part of this is enjoyable and satisfying and creative. It's all part of a creative process. And so it's not a drag. It's work, right? And it's effort. And it's time consuming and it can be tedious, but it's super satisfying when you get to the end of editing a video and it's all come together and you watch it. It's wow. You really feel a sense of accomplishment.
I agree. I love making video, editing video, making graphics. I get the same joy, the same high that I get out of making an art journal page. It's a little bit more pressured in a way, but the satisfaction and the feeling of losing yourself in the flow of the creation, it exists no matter what I'm creating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm excited about your fodder school 3 months because I almost never travel anywhere, but we decided to take a family trip this year because it's my oldest daughter's final year of school and the last time before she enters the workforce that she can really take a vacation. And so we're taking our kids to Mexico City.
Wow, that's going to be amazing.
And I remember that your fodder school 3 lessons also employ not magazine imagery, but your own imagery.
Exactly. That is what it's about. It's about using your own photos in ATCs and having the photos be the inspiration for the colors and textures that you create in your fodder and that you source in the other materials that you use. So I've got my photos. My photos are from my trips to Sayulita, Mexico, which is a very cool little art community on the coast of Mexico. It's about 45 minutes north of Puerto Vallarta. And I've gone there several times and it's just perfect for photos. And Mexico City is going to be just the same.
I'm so excited to take pictures and record my findings because I'm such a nerd. Yeah. I love patterns and I love texture, and I can't wait to just walk around like observing and looking and being exposed to different patterning and different colorways. Like Mexico to me, like Mexico and Morocco are two of the places in the world where I just am most excited about seeing the culture through art, but also just through architecture and seeing fabrics and textiles and all that stuff. Like, it'll be like a whole different world.
Yeah. And it is. It is. And that's why we travel, right?
I hardly ever travel because I don't love traveling. But I
that's why I think you might get the bug after Mexico City.
I don't know about that, but I can psych myself up knowing that I'm going to, it's not about tasting delicious food. It's like tasting the aesthetic of the place. I'm very excited. And of course I'm excited to be with my family because I love my family.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Does anyone speak Spanish?
Yes, my oldest daughter is fluent in Spanish, which is
wonderful.
Awesome. And then my middle daughter, we'll see how she does. She took Spanish in high school, but she's not as dedicated as my older daughter. My older daughter took two gap years in between high school and college and lived in a place where it was in the United States, but the main language spoken in everyone's home was Spanish.
Oh.
So she used her Spanish all the time and became really fluent. So she's good. She's good. And then she, when she went to college, she took a Spanish literature class. So she had to read and write in Spanish.
That's great. That's great.
So that
will make your travel that much more enjoyable.
Yes. And I have a whole large family of cousins that lives there that I've never met before.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Who knows? I don't know if they're interested in meeting me, but I'm interested in meeting them.
I can't wait to hear all about it.
All right. Thank you so, so, so much. Not just for recording with me for a little over an hour, but for putting your heart and your soul into your course.
Thank you, Wendy, for the opportunity to create it. Your invitation was like just one of those things that it was obvious to me. I would say yes. And it's turned into a wonderful course that I'm really proud of, that I had an amazing amount of fun creating. And so I'm excited for the launch. And thank you so much for making me a part of Willow Workshops.
I appreciate you so much. Nobody knows this, but Sarah is one of my attorneys. I've needed lawyers more than you can ever imagine.
It's really fun. It's really fun to be an attorney in an art capacity. I get to blend both of my worlds together.
Yeah, we should really mention that. If anybody needs someone to write a contract or someone to negotiate a deal, get in touch with Sarah if you live in the United States. Yeah.
That's where I can use my left brain.
I love it. All right. Thank you, Sarah. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you, Wendy. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Show Up or Shut Up podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to this podcast and leave a rating and review. And once again, you can find me, Wendy, free gifts for newsletter subscribers, online classes with me and many other incredible instructors, my blog, and everything else at willowwanders.com and on Instagram at willa.wanders. Talk to you soon. Until then, stay curious and keep making.